And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's up, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you to talk about all these big college signings, right? We got Owen Power joining the Sabres, making his debut on Tuesday, and a boatload of other guys joining their NHL teams that drafted them. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much, Pete. A wonderful time of year. It's put up or shut up time in the fantasy world. And yes, I think we should bring in today's guest, as we do every Monday, the one and only Waiver Wire James, because that's the prevailing story in fantasy this week, is some prolific names all out of Michigan, guys making their prospective debuts, and all Olympians too, James.
Yeah, for sure. You have Owen Power signing with the Buffalo Sabres. You have Matty Beniers signing his contract to turn pro and go play for the Seattle Kraken. Obviously, you know, we've talked about a few of the other guys who are going to be coming in a couple of weeks ago, like Jake Sanderson with the Ottawa Senators and guys like that. So, yeah, it's a really, really exciting time right now because all of these college free agents have the opportunity to sign. And some of them, I think, are going to get legitimate shots down the stretch here and could very well contribute to the fantasy hockey playoffs for a lot of teams.
Right. And because the season's pushed back a little bit till the end of April, right, we have an actual window for these guys to come in and maybe actually make an impact. So it begs the question for you guys and me, should you pick up Owen Power right now? He was just added to Yahoo system. There's the waiver period, but I think the waiver period ends prior to his debut on Tuesday for Buffalo. So James, what kind of an actual impact can Owen Power make for a non-contending team in the Sabres, but one that's been playing pretty well, with the exception of that 5-0 loss yesterday to the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I think it's kind of hard to say right now where I expect Owen Power to slot in. Obviously, you look at the back end of the Sabres roster on that defensive side that they have, and really Rasmus Dahlin is the only defenseman that I would say is going to stand in his way of anything. I don't expect, you know, guys like Matias Samuelsson or Casey Fitzgerald or Henry Jokiharju to stand, you know, in the way of Owen Power being successful or getting a lot of playing time. But again, I don't expect him to be on the first power play unit because Dahlin does such an excellent job running that. They may give him a spin on the ice with that unit on the opposite side of the point with Dahlin. But from a power play perspective, I don't know how much I expect a lot out of Power right now. I think it's going to be more at even strength, just depending on where he gets put. If it's going to be, you know, on that first pair, maybe with Dahlin, or more likely that second pair to start.
Who doesn't like horse racing, right? This guy's a thoroughbred, boys. Like, I think right away he's going to step into a top four role. I think he gets some power play opportunities. Let's not forget, too, as well, guys, that this guy's already played pro hockey. He played at the World Championship. He played at the Olympics. I understand those are two different animals, but I the upside is already there, in my opinion, because he's done it all. And let's not forget, too, Michigan. I mean, they had everybody on their roster. They were supposed to win something big, and it fell through this season. So congratulations to Denver. But, Pete, I'm all over Owen Power this week.
Right. And from a keeper league standpoint, I mean, this is as good as it can get for a team moving forward at the defenseman position, even though what you said, James, like, Power and Rasmus Dahlin both shoot left. So ideally, I think for a future standpoint, like this, these two guys are playing on separate pairs and giving the Sabres a new layer to their back end that has really prevented them from the past few years, even dating back to the Jack Eichel era and the Ryan O'Reilly era, right? Like, they could never take that next step forward toward the playoffs because their back end was terrible. Now they actually have some prospects in that regard. So it's really nice to see, and hopefully it materializes if they can stay the course. But yeah, for the rest of the season, I think they're rolling two strong lines right now, which is a good thing for a maybe ripple effect on Owen Power with what Mittelstadt and Victor Olofsson have been doing in their past 10 games or so. So yeah, I'm excited about Owen Power. And because the defenseman position is so thin, I'm going to pick him up once he's eligible to be added after this waiver period.
Nick's favorite saying, it's Nick's favorite thing to think about right now, is schedule manipulation. I mean, he was telling us before we came on about the dream of schedule manipulation that he had just last night. But, you know, it sounded like it was a good one. But at this point in the season, you know, you have to, when it comes especially to the playoffs, you have to, you know, target the teams that are going to get you a lot of play, and you have to be willing to make those tough choices at the bottom of your roster. If you have a solid middle six contributing player on, you know, a playoff team, but they play two games this week, and you could pick up a guy like Matthew Joseph from the Ottawa Senators, who have a great schedule this week, or a guy like Dahlin or Jeff Skinner or Owen Power from the Buffalo Sabres, who play four games this week. That's, you know, those are moves that you probably want to make, because at this point in the season, you really need just more quantity over quality, because you need to just hammer as many points as you can.
Yeah, I mean, there are some exceptions when a guy has a three-point game or something like that. It can override the schedule strategy. But yeah, I think most times, more times than not, you can lean on the schedule and let that break your ties and your ad drops this week. We going back to the college signings, there are a couple of guys out there at the forward position. There's this kid, Bobby Brink, he's going to the Flyers. He was a stud in college. There's also Beniers, who you mentioned, and Kent Johnson going to the Columbus Blue Jackets. James, which of these guys excites you the most in terms of the immediate potential and what they could do for you the final few weeks of the season? You know, Beniers in Seattle, I think he's a great prospect, but I just don't see the supporting cast around him for the here and now.
I was thinking about a question like this yesterday, and I kept coming back to a guy like Matty Beniers. Now, obviously, it's a tricky situation. There's a lot of expectation. There's a lot of pressure put on him. He's the first ever draft pick in the history of the franchise. The team, we can see it now. They didn't come out of the expansion draft, I think, as well as everybody had expected. And, you know, this team, they have a lot of holes. But I think that also works in his favor right now, that if he gets, you know, he's signed now. So if he gets into the lineup and if he gets, you know, playing, I think you're going to immediately see them want to, you know, see what he has and want to show their fans what kind of future they have with this kid. So I really think that, you know, he could slot in as one of their top two centers, or even as, you know, a short-term wing for one of their top two lines for the rest of the season. So right now, just depending on how quickly it takes him to get into the lineup, I would say it's probably Matty Beniers, because I think that he's going to be given an opportunity to see a lot of playing time so that he can start growing and he can start getting comfortable playing against these guys at the end of a season where, you know, a lot of the games don't really mean anything for them in the standings.
It really is an unprecedented week. We could see the first, second, and fifth overall from the 2021 NHL draft make their debuts. Matty Beniers, love the guy. Who the hell is he playing with in Seattle that piques your interest right now? So my sleeper is Kent Johnson from the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think there's attachment potential here with Patrick Laine, guys. I think this is often the guy nobody talks about enough about, and I think I could lean Kent Johnson more so, Pete, because Matty Beniers, I don't know who he's going to play with right now, with all due respect to everything happening in Seattle.
Right. And I know that Patrick Laine has cooled off a little bit in recent weeks compared to that crazy stretch that he was on since the start of the new year. But maybe that's a situation where Kent Johnson, another Michigan product, can be thrust up, and we've seen some big performances from guys in single games like Sillinger and Jack Roslovic, and, you know, but not as much consistency. Maybe they give him the opportunity, and maybe that's the best supporting cast for any of these three guys. I mean, same thing for Brink, who comes over from Denver. You know, he was a stud in college, but it's not a situation where Philly has anyone really that can elevate his game, with the exception of maybe next season, when, of course, Sean Couturier will come back from injury. So that's the type of situation for the short term. You look for the best line mates. Columbus probably has the best line mates for these guys. And rest of the fantasy playoffs, guys, how are your leagues going? I mean, I'm advancing in Chris Meany's league. I think I'm down to the final four. So excited about that. Obviously benefited from a 3-0 week from Ville Husso, like I talked about last show. But I mean, some of these other guys are really stepping up for me. I mean, I think on defense, like Justin Falk was like one of my biggest performers last week. With like, what do you have, like 5 or 6 points in three games?
I love these under the radar type files. And that's where I wanted to lead next with James, is some guys you have on your list. Ryan Johansson, I think, has been an epic story this season. And Nico Hischier, like you look at the clip that Hischier is playing on. And especially now with Jack Hughes done for this season, I would be adding Nico Hischier among others, James.
100%. You know, you look at what he's doing right now, and especially since Hughes has, you know, unfortunately, left the lineup for the second extended period of time so far this season. But he sure has stepped in, and he's been one of their most consistent forwards this season. I mean, 54 points. He's got back-to-back multi-point games. He's got points in five of his last six overall. He's just been, you know, an absolute beast right now, and he is stepping in and he is taking over that number one center spot for them with Hughes gone. Now, obviously, you hate to see, you know, the injury to Hughes. It was just an unfortunate and awkward, you know, situation. But dating back to the beginning of March, 16 games since March 1st, and he sure has 19 points. So, you know, he's definitely somebody that if you're not jumping on, you're crazy right now, because he's, you know, it's the second coming of the Robert Thomas discussion, right? I mean, this guy is, he's so good. He's got 54 points. He's producing, and he's 34% rostered right now. And it's just, it blows my mind that guys like these who are producing so well right now are that available in fantasy hockey leagues.
And going back to the college signings discussion, we did get a fan question. Someone was asking, should they drop either Rasmus Dahlin or Noah Hanifin it was Noah Dobson, but we'll throw Hanifin in the mix too, because Hanifin had 4 assists the other day. So he's been a big producer in the fantasy playoffs. If you have any of those three guys, including Hanifin, would you drop them for Owen Power right now, guys? Start with Nick.
Yeah, like again, you guys know where I stand in the whole process in the playoffs specifically. I'm cutting anybody who's not playing a lot. So probably I think I would lean towards that way. That's the way I would answer the question. If you have a 3-game team player, I think you're okay to stick. But Owen Power, you know, regardless of, you know, the strength of schedule or not, I think you have to give this guy a look, because I think he has potential right away to be an impact player in fantasy hockey. I don't know if you feel the same way, James.
Just looking at the schedule for them this week, for Buffalo, I mean, Toronto and St. Louis. So that is definitely a difficult start. I probably would fade that right now. I'm more of the wait and see on a guy like Owen Power. I just want to see where he slots into that lineup. And I think all three of those other guys are in positions to produce a lot more, especially, you know, a guy like Dahlin and Noah Dobson. Hanifin might be the only outlier there, because they do have Rasmus Anderson and Shillington on that defense also. But I would probably say I would fade Owen Power just to start.
And the Islanders have a bunch of games this week, 2 against Pittsburgh. They also have game against Montreal and then a road game against Toronto. So yeah, I would go Dobson over Owen Power, but I would pick up Owen Power over Noah Hanifin personally.
Yeah.
Because of that secondary role for Hanifin. Good point by James. And then, you know, looking at some of the other teams with 4 games this week, we mentioned Buffalo. Do we want to dabble with the Detroit Red Wings with 4 games? Do you trust that team at all, guys, for the fantasy playoffs? Some of these non-contenders like the Flyers or the Red Wings. I mean, do we even dare to go into that conversation? Because some of those games, like, you don't need anything like a -4 to derail your week. And I think you could see that from any of those two teams on any given night.
I mean, you look at the schedule right now for the Red Wings this week coming up, the Senators, who just gave them a fit last week. I think the Senators beat them 5-2, and then the Hurricanes, the Rangers and the Panthers. I'm checking out of the Detroit Red Wings this week, boys.
No, I'm just a bit disappointed. Like, everything's happening in Winnipeg, right? Blake Wheeler's down. Mark Scheifele got hurt Sunday, won't play Monday. The strength of schedule is there. They play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday this week, guys. But I don't know how deep you want to go in that well. Paul Stastny, I think Adam Lowry is their second line center now. Evgeny Svechnikov's in the top six, so I'm probably fading there. Certainly names I'm looking at. You mentioned the Islanders, Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, Kyle Palmieri. I'm all over Montreal this week. Cole Caulfield, Brendan Gallagher, Hoffman, Petrie. Carey Price is a name, Pete, I want to talk about later on that potentially could make his season debut this week. There's value to be found. Like we talked at nauseam last week, James, about Buffalo, and you know, say what you will about that organization and where they're trending, but they're providing a lot of value that we really don't talk about in fantasy hockey right now.
Yeah, and when you look at, I mean, we've talked about that top line of you know, Tuck, Skinner, and Thompson since they were formed earlier this season, but there's more depth there than I think a lot of people give them credit for. You know, you have the Cousins, the Victor Olofssons, even Kyle Okpozo is having a pretty decent season right now. But, you know, I go back to the Nico Hischier, argument that I was just making about why he should be picked up. Jeff Skinner is 32% rostered, and he's a 30-goal scorer this season for the fifth time in his career, and he's that widely available right now. So, yeah, guys, and I had a fan, you know, DMing me on Twitter the other day, asking me some questions. And he was saying, you know, I haven't played fantasy hockey in a while. I'm thinking about dropping some of these guys from some of these underperforming teams to pick up, you know, third liners from these playoff teams. And I said, why? You know, like you want to tap that well. If you have guys who are going to be given huge opportunities to play on bad teams versus a guy who's going to be given a limited opportunity to play on a good team, I'm taking the guy on the bad team 24/7. I think I blew his mind. But you know, that's that, you know, there's sneaky depth out there on these non-playoff teams because they're giving guys a large role just to go out there and, you know, try and get something done. So, you know, I would definitely, you know, lean that strategy too, Nick.
Yeah. I think that with Buffalo, there's sneaky depth in the prospect pool. Some of the guys are up in the NHL, some of the guys are not, but I think a year or two from now, you're going to see, you know, things ignite for the team. I know I've said that before and I've been wrong, but, you know, we're building our keeper rankings for the end of the season, probably going to release them later this week. And we're looking at the keeper dynasty top 100. It's guys that are 25 or younger. And the Sabres aren't going to have 10 guys on the list, but they have 10 guys in consideration. Tage Thompson fits that bill. There's Dahlin, there's Tuck, Owen Power, Peyton Krebs. Mittelstadt, like I said, picking up his production. There's Cousins. And then there are a couple other guys in the AHL with Paterka, UPL, and Jack Quinn. So the 10 guys, not many teams out there have 10 guys worth much at the age of 25 and younger, right, Nick?
Yeah, the great thing about that organization, haven't they missed the playoffs in 11 straight seasons, right?
They have.
it's so fascinating to me because I actually like the vibe coming out of Buffalo right now. Maybe it's part and parcel to the finally making the Jack Eichel deal. I think they've been better down the stretch here, but I want to see it from game one, James. Buffalo is a team where it just always leaves me wanting more. And while I think the prospect capital's there, I just don't know where that organization truly is moving forward, if they're anywhere closer to making the playoffs, because we talk about the Atlantic Division all the time.
It's probably arguably the toughest division in the NHL right now when you look at the teams in that division. So, you know, it's definitely going to be an interesting thing to see over the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, how that prospect pool, you know, starts to play out for them. But, you know, when you have the core still in Boston, you have what Florida is building, what Tampa Bay has and, you know, and will have for years. And obviously that, you know, core of players that the Maple Leafs have, you know, you can almost write all four of those teams in Sharpie to make the playoffs on a yearly basis right now. So, you know, the Sabres need impact players and they need these prospects that they've, you know, these highly touted prospects to start turning into guys like that.
And of course, guys, you can head on over to NHL.com/fantasy and look, it's Owen Power on the cover, fantasy hockey top 10 waiver wire pickups of the week. James, thank you so much for this.
Yeah, if the Buffalo Sabres don't start doing a weekly video series called Power Plays, I'm going to be so disappointed at them right now.
Very, very
true. All right, boys, I'll see you guys next week.
Take care.
So looking at other teams with four games this week, one big standout lately to me at the defenseman position has been Nick Leddy, with Torrey Krug still out. Nick Leddy is, you know, surfacing on the first power play for the St. Louis Blues, and not only playing there, he's producing too. He's got a five-game point streak, and he's got points in seven of his past nine games. So this has got to be one of the best waiver wire pickups in the league right now. He's only 4% rostered as of Monday morning.
Value with a capital V. And you know, I love to dissect the NHL trade market now 3 weeks since the deadline. Yep. And it's always fascinating to look at the value in fantasy hockey. I think number one, you go to the New York Rangers and what they've provided, especially Andrew Kopp. What a seamless fit there. But Nick Leddy, like, especially in time of need, Torrey Krug goes down shortly after the deadline. They pop in the vet, and he's been doing his thing on the power play. And I don't know, Pete, I'm getting excited again about my St. Louis Blues. I know I've been pumping that you know, drum all season long here on the podcast in terms of a futures look. And they're getting the goaltending too. I would not sleep on that team. And I cannot wait. The potential of a Minnesota St. Louis first round series, I think, would pop off, my man.
Yeah, they've had, you know, some lopsided games, but also some tight games, including one over the weekend. And you know, what Minnesota did to the LA Kings, I mean, that could be a season spoiler for LA, right? We were just talking up LA on the last show about their consistency, but it is tough when you have a young team like LA. I know they have some vets like Kopitar and, of course, Quick, and even Philip Deneau has been around the block a few times to try to keep this group together. But I mean, when you're without Drew Doughty and you're facing a potential collapse like this, I mean, a good team like Minnesota came back from down 3-0 and beat them. So yeah, Minnesota and St. Louis would be a great Winter Classic rematch if they met in the playoffs. But I'm a little worried about the LA Kings on the other side of that Minnesota game yesterday.
Well, it's sort of funny. Like, I was, you know, conversing with a couple people last week, and I'm like, man, like, I don't know if Vegas is going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they said, watch out for the Los Angeles Kings, because maybe the injuries are starting to catch up to this team.
Yeah.
Where do you stand? Like, where do you feel like strength of schedule? We talk about that. The Golden Knights, the one thing working against them is nine games remaining in the season. As we speak, they're at 84 points, 2 points out. I think depending on who you ask, I think Canucks fans still think they have a shot. I believe Vegas and Vancouver get together again on Tuesday night. That's a massive game. The Dallas Stars blew one on Saturday against the New Jersey Devils. I think there's still a lot to be determined, and I wouldn't sleep on the Vegas Golden Knights. Just when you think they're done, I think they start to elevate it a bit here, Pete. But this is certainly the year, or the time of year, I should say, where you can't be collapsing like this. That's for sure.
I mean, I feel a lot better about Vegas since we last talked, Nick, because Max Pacioretty came back and scored a goal over the weekend, and maybe Stone could be joining him in the near future. I don't know about Riley Smith, but either or, I mean, if you get one of those guys back, you have to waive someone to make room. So be it. I mean, that would make your roster considerably better. And the game's remaining angle doesn't apply anymore to Golden Knights, because they have played one fewer game than the LA Kings as of Monday morning. So LA has kind of lost the padding that it had in the standings. So right now, if you were to say, are you picking the LA Kings or the Golden Knights to make the playoffs? If you had to choose between the two, and Edmonton looks pretty safe, I would go with the Golden Knights over the LA Kings. And that's coming from someone that, you know, picked the Kings to make the playoffs and is in love with what that team is going to be able to do long term. But it's just not here right now. And if Doughty can't come save the ship, then it might sink.
And that's an extremely important point. Just because you have the games in hand, and we talk about it a lot in the media and the NHL world, games in hand, you don't take care of business, it does not matter. So while things didn't look great for Vegas maybe 2 weeks ago, it looks much, much better now, because LA is really, really struggling. And while Vegas is taking care of their own slate, when it comes to, you know, some of their files like Riley Smith, Mark Stone, especially Stone, like last time I looked, they needed to free like over $5.5 million to take this guy off injured reserve. I just don't see it happening. You know, honestly, I think you're right. Like, all bets are off. I think if we're in a scenario where Vegas direly needs this guy down the stretch, I think they figure something out, but I wouldn't want to be the cap guy or the cap person right now for the Vegas Golden Knights, Pete.
Well, that's the beauty of it now. I mean, if they have Pacioretty back, they play Pacioretty with Chandler Stephenson on one line, and then they play Jack Eichel on the other line with Dadonov, right? That's what, and Wah. So it's some nice boost in secondary scoring, even without Mark Stone. And then you could have a little, Kucherov coming back in the playoffs, only it'll be out west with Stone coming back if they make it, and they'll be a dangerous out. So, yeah, you can't lose to the New Jersey Devils if you're the Dallas Stars. That is inexcusable. I know even their coach, Rick Bonus, was really disappointed about that, so as were the fan base. But, yeah, Dallas isn't done just yet, but Vegas looking a lot better lately because they're stringing together the wins, like you said.
And I don't know about you, I'm starting to get that feeling again. Maybe it's coming off Masters weekend and Major League Baseball being back, but like it's playoff time, right? Like the NBA's headed to the playoffs, the NHL, where we're soon to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that feeling is there. I think the feeling is there because Carey Price might return. Remember that guy who somehow got the Montreal Canadiens, Pete, to the Stanley Cup final last year? I think this is definitively a guy to look at in fantasy hockey. If you saw my article on sportsnet.ca on Sunday, they headlined with him, and I understand why. I think it's his pace right now. I think what could expedite that process is Jake Allen getting banged up over the weekend. I know they called up Caden Primo, but I think you look at a potential guy who can put a fantasy roster over the top. Could it be Carey Price, Pete?
I think it can be. I was really surprised. We run these polls on NHL Fantasy Instagram over the weekend. Two lopsided polls in different directions than I would have expected. I asked, are you picking up Owen Power? It was like 20% of people said yes. I mean, wow. It should be higher than that. And then it was right around 20-25% of people saying, you know, will Carey Price come back at the end of the season and make a fantasy impact? I mean, like people are doubting Carey Price. I mean,
exactly.
He's had that team on his back time and time again, playoffs, regular season. Maybe the games don't matter right now, but I think the games matter for players like Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, for Marty St. Louis, for Carey Price to, you know, put in, you know, kind of, you know, overcome what he's been through this year. So there's a lot of meaning to these games. So yes, I would say that Carey Price could make a difference if he gets a start or two or three down the stretch of the season.
Certainly there with you. I think it's a recency thing. Nobody's seen Carey Price this season, out of sight, out of mind, but man, this guy got this team to the Stanley Cup final last year. I think there's the expectation there too, to have this guy play for the offseason trade benefit. We talked about that. And along those lines, Mackenzie Blackwood, Pete, is probably a guy I have on my watch list right now. He's actually traveling with the Devils on their 5-game road trip. He hasn't played since January 19th due to a heel issue. It might be even earlier than that. But I think this is another guy. Like, that's another thing I'm looking forward to seeing, and how it plays out here in the offseason is the goalie carousel. Because there's going to be a couple teams out there, specifically a couple that come to mind that could lose out in the Stanley Cup playoffs and be looking for a guy. So Blackwood's another guy. Certainly, we've talked about this a lot the last couple of weeks, but finding a goalie for a stream is very, very difficult this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at those keeper rankings, like I was saying, and there were a couple of players that have fallen off a cliff this season compared to where we had them ranked for the longer-term leagues that fit that under 25, you know, 25 and under. There was Ilya Samsonov, there was Carter Hart, there was Kaapo Kakko, there was Kirby Dach, and then another one you just mentioned there. So I think that it's crazy to see how some of these guys in just a season, a half a season, and Mackenzie Blackwood, I mean, I've lost confidence in him. He's still very young. They have the positional need. If he comes back healthy, if he's maybe a little more disciplined, he can do big things for the Devils with the skater core that they have and the prospects still waiting in the wings. So I'm not writing him off. I just, you know, he's one of the few players out there that young that I think everybody has lost confidence in from a fantasy lens.
And I think things might have gotten a bit sour with management there and how the situations have been handled the last little while. So I would look out for that. It's glass half empty, half full. Like, I think there's buy low appeal next season, right? And I think you're looking for value in your fantasy drafts. You look at guys like Mackenzie Blackwood and you're like, I might have to hover there. Although I did that with Carter Hart this season, and Pete, it bit me in the rear end. Just to wrap, let's go over the 4-game teams again. Buffalo, Detroit, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, the Islanders, Philly, San Jose, St. Louis, Toronto, Winnipeg. Important to note, the 1-2-game team, and if you're in a championship week like I am, Vancouver. I think with exception to Elias Pettersson, have yourself a couple weeks. This guy was off a cliff in the first 3 months of this season, but he's showing his value. And I mentioned last week, Pete, I was putting my top 250 for next season together. EP's approaching my top 50, might get into my top 45, because I think The dude's a stud. He's showing why he was a bona fide talent a couple years back. So Vancouver, EP 40, Thatcher Demko, probably the only two guys I'm sticking around on this week because of the two-game slate.
Yeah, it's tough. Vancouver's been at a crossroads this season. They have roster flaws. They got rid of the GM. They got rid of the coach, right? They had to kind of, you know, try to turn the ship around mid-season, but still had those roster flaws. But I do still think the Canucks have a high ceiling with that core of Quinn Hughes and JT Miller if they keep him. Besser, I don't know if they're going to trade him, but Elias Pettersson, still a keeper league gem, like you said, and a couple other guys to keep an eye on the waiver wire that had big performances over the weekend. Jordan Staal, I know he's a third liner, but he covers hits. He's at 200 hits for the season, Jordan Staal, and he had a hat trick, and he's had multi-point games in three of his past four. So give Jordan Staal a look for one of the best, deepest teams in the league. And then two other guys came back of note over the weekend that maybe you cut ties with, but you should get back in on the train. Matt Boldy had a multi-point game coming back from injury in that crazy game for the Wild, coming from behind against the LA Kings. And then Tim Stützle has been stringing together points left and right prior to his brief absence, but he's now back as well. So those are two guys that I would make sure should be rostered in any fantasy playoff matchups.
And again, we're only one click away via Instagram, via Twitter, wherever you'd like to find us, Facebook DM. We can answer your questions on the spot. It's the most important therapeutic time of the fantasy season beyond belief, because people are vying for championships right now, Pete.
Yeah, and there's a cool new thing on Twitter. It's like the NHL fantasy hockey community, where you can have fans answer questions. You can have us chime in and answer questions. It gets, you know, sprinkled into our Twitter feed. So definitely go ahead and join that. You can find that at NHL Fantasy on Twitter. And leave us a comment on YouTube. Remember, the shows are on YouTube. So check it out. And also wherever you get your podcasts. But yeah, thanks, Nick. Thanks, Waiver Wire James. And we'll be back at you on Thursday. We're winding down here in the fantasy playoffs, but it's still an important time of year. So we'll keep the episodes rolling and looking forward to the next show. So thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.